This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Friday, March 13th, I'm Jeff Bostert. Coming up, thinking about a bigger TV, you can bet most of the TVs on store shelves will use more energy than your old one, cutting down on household power hogs. We'll get a report from Tamarith Keith at the Environment Report coming up. We'll also check your forecast for the weekend, but first a look at today's news. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn has spared the Pontiac Correctional Center. He reversed an earlier order by his predecessor, Rob Blagojevich, to shut down Pontiac and open the newer Thompson Prison in northwest Illinois. Sean Crawford has more.
Pontiac Republican Senator Dan Rutherford says the decision was the right one.
Every single objective analysis about Pontiac and the correctional system said keep it open. So I don't know how you can go anything other than say it's an appropriate policy decision.
Rutherford and other Pontiac supporters had rallied to save the prison and more than 500 jobs. Rutherford says despite the prison being more than 130 years old, there have been numerous upgrades to Pontiac to make it state-of-the-art. But those wanting to see the jobs moved to the Thompson facility say the governor was catering to the prison guards union that fought the change. Quad Cities Democratic Senator Mike Jacobs says his area has lost an opportunity for an economic boost.
And the governor had his first chance to show that he was going to be a leader and not a follower. But unfortunately, Governor Quinn has proven to be himself more of a politician than I ever imagined.
The Thompson Prison was built nearly a decade ago, but budget cutbacks have prevented it from fully opening. Jacobs says the state should consider selling the facility if it has no plans to use it. I'm Sean Crawford.
The mayor of Pontiac, meanwhile, says Governor Quinn ignored politics in making the decision to reverse the prison closure. Scott McCoy says the announcement yesterday takes a load off the minds of employees and the entire city, which is already facing the uncertain future of another major employer, Interlake.
People are now excited. So it's been quite a roller coaster for almost a year, and it's nice to finally bring it to an end. I'm going to go out Main Street now and do my happy dance.
The prison is one of the area's largest employers. The Illinois Department of Corrections says about 500 people work there now. Governor Pat Quinn is dismissing any talk of consolidating state pension systems to the relief of teachers throughout the state. Quinn told hundreds of teachers gathered at a meeting in suburban Chicago yesterday that he didn't think State Treasurer Alexi Genulius's plan to lump the management of five pension systems would go through. The governor also says the way education is funded should be changed. He says the current system based on property taxes is unfair to rural and poor school districts. The teachers cheered loudly as Quinn spoke. Sarah Madsen, a preschool teacher in Elgin, says former Governor Rob Blagojevich didn't understand the importance of what goes on in the classroom, but Quinn does. The Illinois Student Assistance Commission is reporting that despite the nationwide economic downturn, Illinois' fund for parents prepaying college costs is not in danger. Executive Director Andrew Davis said yesterday if the stock market closed down for the next year and a half, the Assistance Commission would meet all its obligations to pay college tuitions out of cash on hand. Illinois invests funds from the College Illinois program in the stock market. But instead of investing in one high-risk stock, Davis said the state put money into a broad swath of the market. Davis added that although there is plenty of money still in the fund, fewer people are enrolling in the program. About 50,000 people in Illinois take part in the program. Death penalty opponents rallied at the state capitol Thursday to mark the 10th anniversary of the last execution in the state and push for an end to capital punishment. Todd Fuhrer has more.
Randy Steidel is one of 13 former death row inmates who have been exonerated since Illinois reinstated the death penalty in the 1970s. Steidel spent 11 years on death row before his sentence was commuted to life in prison. It was another 5.5 years until he was set free. He says his time in the general population was worse punishment than facing execution.
You know, during death row, I watched 12 men walk to their death. Not a one of them had a tear in their eye. I didn't understand that until after I began a life sentence. 2 years into that life sentence, I realized those guys were being released. I have a passive death sentence. You know, this could last 40 years of living like an animal amongst animals.
Steidel says death row inmates have privacy and don't face the constant fear of attack they would face in a prison's general population. A measure to abolish the death penalty has been approved by a House committee. The first time in several years the issue will be considered by the full House. I'm Todd Fuhrer.
Steidel and a friend, Herb Whitlock, were convicted in the 1986 double murder of newlyweds Dyke and Karen Rhodes in Paris, Illinois. Steidel was sent free in 2004, and Whitlock was released last year after serving part of a life sentence. Both occurred when federal judges determined the men should either be retried or set free, and Attorney General Lisa Madigan determined they shouldn't again face trial based on a lack of evidence. No one else has been charged in the killings. Illinois' version of a cola war ended when the state gave one company an exclusive contract over... Illinois' version of a cola war ended when the state gave one company an exclusive contract at all state government buildings. But an audit finds problems with how Illinois chose Pepsi over Coke. Amanda Vinicky has that story.
State representatives, suspicious of the 2007 deal, directed the Auditor General to investigate. His findings show those lawmakers had good reason to question the contract. Both Pepsi and Coca-Cola submitted proposals. A team was assembled to score each company following strict rules. Instead, some scores were lowered for no given reason. And when Coke failed to meet a points threshold, the Blagojevich administration kept it hidden for months. It wasn't until after Pepsi won the contract that Coke was notified there'd been a problem. Here's Auditor General Bill Holland.
The whole process, from the submission of proposals to the evaluation to the notification, was weak overall.
A spokeswoman for the Department of Revenue, which oversaw the process, says it was fair and a success, as Pepsi will pay $64 million over 10 years for the exclusive right. At least one lawmaker says the state should seek new bids. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Changing the name of the Sears Tower to Willis Tower may be the architectural equivalent of watching Michael Jordan finish his career in a Washington Wizards uniform for some Chicagoans. Sears Tower Building Management announced the change yesterday. Willis Tower will be named for the London-based insurance company Willis Holdings Group, which is moving its office into the downtown Chicago building. Willis Holdings says the company requested the change and isn't paying extra for it. The insurance broker will occupy more than 140,000 square feet at $1,450 a square foot. The move is expected to be completed by late summer. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. College basketball's big Final Four tournament is approaching, and most television sales will no doubt spike, as they do with most major sporting events. These days, almost every TV sold is a flat panel, and as Tamara Keith reports, most use more energy than the old cathode ray tube TVs.
Talking to Arshad Mansour can leave you feeling pretty guilty. He's vice president of the Electric Power Research Institute. It's a nonprofit study group. Mansour's organization studies how much power different electronic devices use. Those flat-screen TVs everyone is buying, they're at the top of his list.
Now, as we started bringing in flat screen, and as the flat screen prices started going down, television is becoming one of the largest growth segments in terms of electricity use.
And get this, a 42-inch plasma TV can use as much electricity as a refrigerator. Talking to Mansour got me thinking about my own power use. So I asked him a hypothetical question that, let's say, isn't nearly as hypothetical as it sounds.
So if I go through my house and I replace every light bulb with a compact fluorescent, and then I go buy a flat screen TV.
You almost wiped out your savings with one plasma TV and one set-top box that you gained by changing all your light bulbs to a compact fluorescent lamp.
Guess I'm not as green as I thought. Part of the issue, he says, is that people don't replace their 25-inch TVs with 25-inch flat screens. They go bigger. But Mansour isn't saying that environmentally-minded consumers should steer clear of flat-panel TVs. He's just saying they should shop smart. For instance, LCD models use less energy than plasmas. There are new Energy Star TVs that are up to 30% more efficient than the last generation of Energy Stars. There are now nearly 500 models on the market that meet the standard. Catherine Kaplan leads Energy Star product development for the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. She says in the past, the program only looked at how much power a TV used when it was turned off.
Really, it was time to take our energy efficiency requirements to the next level and to focus for the first time on active power.
So they're now including those 5 hours a day our TVs are blaring. At a Washington, D.C. Best Buy, flat screens line an entire wall and half of another one. Richard Glynn can't seem to take his eyes off of Kung Fu Panda playing on a big plasma TV.
I have an old-fashioned, big and heavy, clunky TV.
And what's making you shop?
Envy. I covet my neighbor's flat screen.
And Glynn knows that if he buys a new TV, it will use more energy than his old one.
This very nice plasma I'm looking at here like uses as much energy as a hairdryer or something like that. It's really, really bad.
But he just can't resist. I ask store manager John Zittrauer to show me which ones are Energy Star TVs.
I think it'd be more difficult to show you which ones aren't, because all of the ones that we've been getting in, I would say for the past 6 months or so, have all had the Energy Star logo on it.
So there's a bunch of them out there. And by the way, Zittrauer has plenty of energy-saving advice. First, don't buy more TV than you need. Keep the TV's brightness settings toned down. Plug the TV, the DVD, and all the other electronics into a surge protector and switch it off when they're not in use. For the Environment Report, I'm Tamara Keith.
In the forecast for the region, mostly sunny skies today, the high around 45, partly cloudy tonight, the low around 25. Mostly sunny Saturday, the high around 52, partly cloudy Saturday evening, the low around 35. Sunday, partly sunny, the high around 55, mostly cloudy Sunday evening, the low around 35 degrees. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, March 13th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.